Welcome back to The Land Before Prime. I'm Tom, and Rob's not with me right now. This is an old episode you're about to listen to, all recorded before COVID really had its stranglehold on the world. We will be providing new content pretty soon, but for now, please enjoy these old film reviews. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Land Before Prime, a new podcast that's going to help us dust off the old DVDs and give up on those streaming services that have us all locked into contracts of varying sorts. I'm Tom. You can find me at Weekend Lollygagger on Twitter. In fact, no, you can't. It's W-E Lollygagger on Twitter, or Weekend Lollygagger on YouTube.
And I'm Rob, and you can find me at Twitter at retro_throwback.
So we're going to be doing a little bit different here. We don't really want to manage yet another Twitter account. So if you do want to find The Land Before Prime on Twitter or social media, what we're going to ask you to do is just look for the hashtag The Land Before Prime. It's going to make our life easier. It's going to help you be able to communicate with us because we operate two separate channels. So you do come and follow us. Come and talk to us. But I guess really, you're here to find out what film we're doing on episode one. So, as I said, we are looking at our DVD collection, aren't we, Rob, really?
Yep.
You know, one of those things that you've got in the cupboard at the back of your room, the one that's full of DVDs that you've forgotten about because everything's on Prime, Netflix, Now TV, Ratukan, if you're that desperate for a TV show. So we thought, let's open up those cupboards, let's dust off the DVDs, and the first film is...
It's South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, as the full... name is
fantastic. So most of us know that as the South Park movie, but yeah, the full title was South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. It was released in 1999, runs at 81 minutes, so it's not the world's longest film.
No.
And funny enough, it follows the same storyline and the same style of a story that we're used to of South Park,
pretty much. Yeah.
When did you first see this?
Right, so it came out in 99, so I was 11. And
so probably not the cinema then.
No, definitely not. My memories of it were very... Everyone knew of South Park, especially... So you're talking about 10, 11, primary school. And when the film came out, you obviously spent your time Friday nights, Blockbuster, Video Store, things like that. And the South Park movie was around. So my mum and, you know, parents, they had no idea what South Park was. So they picked it up. And I just very vaguely remember... halfway through the film, my mum going, "What is this?" It was off. And that was my biggest memory of never finishing it as a,
oh,
when
that's
it first come
amazing.
Out. When it first come out, yeah.
So I would have been 14/15. So we were heading well into year 10 at secondary school at this point.
Perfect.
We'd been big fans of South Park from 98 because the first season had come out. It was on Channel 4.
Yeah.
And all of us were talking about it. None of us were really allowed to watch it, so it was always under kind of covert
Once they've gone to bed, the parents.
That's the one. And it was phenomenal, but I never went to the cinema to see this because it was kind of at that age. We didn't really have money. We didn't have transport, obviously, except for the bus. So I kind of missed this at the cinema. I saw it when it came out on VHS, and obviously I went and bought it straight away because I had a big VHS collection back then, which has now become a big DVD collection, as you do. And I just remember being blown away by it. But I guess really we'll talk about that in a moment. Mm-hmm. Just to give you guys a brief idea of what this show is going to be about, we are going to obviously introduce the film to you. We're going to do a very brief run through of what that story is. And then we're going to just discuss the good, the negative points of it. What did we enjoy? What was our favourite parts? And then ultimately, does it still stand up as a film today?
Yeah.
Because obviously, films from back in 98, or even let's go even further back in 70s, are very different to the films we get now. And really, it'd be nice to see, could if you released this today, would it still get the reaction it got back then?
No. I think it's everyone's too defensive now. No one can take a joke. So in terms of whether it's good or bad isn't, I think, the issue. I think it's whether it would be allowed to be released.
That's very true. But we'll come on to that in a moment. Then it's, I chose this film, so Rob is going to select the next film. So we'll tell you what that's going to be. But obviously before that as well, we're going to have a little quiz that we'd like you to join in. And it's going to be 10 questions every 3 weeks. That's by the way, the frequency we're aiming for here. And yeah, join in the 10 questions to see if you can get 10 out of 10 and how badly either myself or Rob perform. So, right, South Park, bigger, longer, and uncut. The brief, really cut down version of this. So our four eponymous boys, the ones that we absolutely loved watching on South Park, very, very unchanged from any of kind of the seasons, go and see Asses of Fire, the Terrence and Phillip film. This promptly blows their mind with how full of swearing it is, which leads to them swearing at every available opportunity. This gets them into trouble. This then causes major problems, so Mr. Mackey takes control. He then tries to get them not to swear. He then declares them all cured, and what do they go and do? They go and watch the film again. After watching the film again and swearing a little bit more, poor old Kenny is bet by Cartman that he can't lies his farts, which he does, ends up getting horrendously burnt, and gets rushed off to hospital where George Clooney replaces his heart with a baked potato, killing him. We then get James Hetfield singing Little Boy, You're Going to Hell, which is a fantastic song. Oh. And even back then, mustn't go into one. So Kenny dies. He goes and discovers that Satan is dating Saddam Hussein. And it turns out that when the first blood of a Canadian touches the ground, they will be able to rise up from hell and take over the world. Back in the real world, though, we have Sheila Broflovsky basically taking control and demanding that Canada should apologise for this terrible film, which ends up turning into war against Canada. Cartman sings, Carl's mum's a big fat bitch. Hears it. He ends up getting a V-chip installed in his head, which prevents him from swearing. Nearly there, guys. Nearly there. We go back to war against Canada. Kenny comes back and haunts Cartman, warning him of all of this. No one believes them. The war occurs. Terrence and Phillip get killed. And then we end up having Saddam and Satan coming up to Earth to take over. Obviously, this is all beaten out and all ends in a very, very happy way. Cartman's V-chip, he gets slightly electrocuted and starts being able to deliver electric out of his fingers, which means he can kill Saddam Hussein. And that is it, because we then see Kenny disappearing off to heaven. And basically, that is the story of the film in a very abridged, poorly read out way.
Breathe.
Whew!
No, that was very well read. This is the thing, you don't even read it. It was like,
so I should probably write these things out in the future. But that is basically the story of the film. Now, the thing that I kind of... So we are watching these films before we do this, and we haven't talked about it since because we really wanted to keep everything fresh in our mind. Now, the thing is, people immediately will hear South Park and they'll think it's a crude cartoon and it's a comedy.
No.
It's a crude cartoon, it is comedy.
But this is genius.
Really Trey Parker and Matt Stone doing what sometimes people say they do best, which is a musical.
Exactly.
This film is musical theatre. It's a musical... It's a musical. It's just very, very funny. Yeah. But they fill it full of such wonderful songs as well. And it's, you can't help but smile at it. Right, anyway, I've done a load of talking. So, what did you think of South Park the movie?
So, the movie itself, I do enjoy. But it, for me, it's not the same as the series. That doesn't take away anything from the movie. It's hilarious. I mean, from 99 to now, you still laugh. If I was an adult back then watching it, I'd still be the exact same as I was now. It's amazing.
So for me, there was a lot that I'd never realised. So obviously I never picked up that it was George Clooney playing the Doctor. I never picked up that Brett Spiner was in it doing Conan O'Brien's voice, or Eric Idle was the Doctor that sticks the V-chip inside Cartman. So I would never have picked those up as a child. And again, talking about James Hetfield doing Little Boy, You're Going to Hell. I always assumed that when I heard that at school, that was a load of rubbish. It was just someone doing an impression. But no, it was, from what I've read online, it was James Hetfield. And when I listen back to it now, I can absolutely tell that is James Hetfield.
Because it's weird, because South Park, they've always been well known for doing the impressions and not getting the original celebs in.
But at the same time, you've got to remember, so George Clooney was possibly one of the reasons South Park even exists now. So there was this huge thing. So he saw Trey and Matt's Christmas was episode thing they created. And he basically bootlegged it and gave it to all his friends. That in effect basically helped create South Park. Yeah. So I can imagine him being involved in it. And then Brent Spiner, for those of you who don't know that name, Star Trek Mr. Data or the scientist from Independence Day, he's done a fair bit, but he's a very, very funny man.
See, I don't watch Star Trek, but since you said Independence Day, I know what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. So it really did surprise me to go and see the names that were coming up. But what really surprised me about this, and I don't know if this will surprise you or not, this was all written, or the majority was, during the first season. I assume that this must be around season, with it being 1999, maybe season three.
Yeah.
So it was a gap between season three and season four, so this was the film. But no, apparently the majority of the ideas for this film came around in 98 throughout season one. So it goes to show you kind of how much work they put into it. But there's just lots of other things. For me, it kept... And we should probably highlight here that we are both very, very big South Park fans. Obviously, if you're not a fan of South Park, this film's not going to entertain you. Because this is the absolute, kind of absolute South Park. This is everything South Park. There's not one bit of it that's, oh, well, we've taken slightly from here or slightly from there. It is just still... absolutely solid South Park all the way through. The reason I say that is there's a lot of shows, there's a lot of cartoons that when they go and do a film, somehow they manage to change the feeling of it, and it suddenly
similar
changes.
To I think that with The Simpsons, there was something about the movie that was very little, it was different for
absolutely
me.
The Simpsons film, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't The Simpsons. And in fact, you could possibly tie that in with saying that was around the time that really The Simpsons should have started thinking,
stop.
Is this enough now? Should we stop? Which sadly, I think South Park's at now.
Yeah, I think it's maybe two or three seasons too much, I think.
And I'd say, actually, I'm glad they created this film back then rather than now. Because
later, yeah.
Seeing how they do the episodic content now and how they try and extend a storyline
I don't like that.
I don't like it, and I find that actually it doesn't work for South Park, which is why they've gone back to singular episodes that tail off into nothing, really. There's no continuing storyline. Yet this just managed to feel like an extended episode. It managed to feel just right. And in fact, I'm just working through all of South Park on Prime, funnily enough, at the moment. And
well, wait till you see what the next film is.
Yeah, well, oh really? Okay. I watched the Imagination Land episode, which is a three-part, and even that actually still felt really good. But I forget how long South Park's been going on for, so that was still 2007-2008, and that's over 12 years ago now. But really, the recent stuff just doesn't work. And I do feel that this film absolutely filled the boots of South Park perfectly. And it kept it alive. If they would do it now, I just don't know if it would work.
No, it's a hard one because South Park have done so much for so long that they have such a big fan base that if they got released now, I think it would still get a good following, but... is it accepted as much now? Because it's a movie, it's going into cinema, it's a little bit different than it just being on TV.
So we'll come back to that in a moment when we talk about does it stand up? Because actually that's a really good point. And as you say, current climate and what people generally accept now versus what they won't is vastly different back then. And even though we know South Park was massively, massively hit hard by critics and parents across the world saying, how dare we allow this show exist, it's so rude, it's wrong, what people always often forget is they are so on key with what they're talking about. It might be crude, it might be very rude, but actually when you look at it,
right.
they take the piss out of transgenderism many, many times, but it's never in a particularly negative way.
No,
it's actually more looking at how people are always
observing,
looking at some sort of way about blaming something for something that they can't understand or do. And South Park nail it on the head every time with that. So, we'll carry on that about later. But other good negative points for it? I find it very hard to find anything negative about this. Very hard.
No, there's not really many negative. I just think it's a perfect extended episode for me.
Absolutely. I mean, it was... Obviously, with the first season, we know that they did the majority of the first season using bits of paper and stop-motion animation. Stop motion. You can understand why it looks so different. And then you look at the remastered episodes where they basically remade them using the new technique. It looks incredible, but there was still a certain charm they had.
Doesn't have that feeling now.
This was all done with computers, the film, but it still had that feeling of it being stop-motion. And they kept that feeling up. Ooh, well past season 12, which is what I'm up to at the moment. Okay. But the latest ones, again, they just feel a little bit too perfect in how their animation style is. And again, that's not taking away from the enjoyment of them. It's more the fact that obviously things have progressed. I just like to think that actually this kind of stayed pure, I guess is the best way to look at it.
Yep.
But yeah, you're right. There isn't many negative things. The good points, obviously, the music side of it. It was nominated for an Oscar for best song
and
music in the film. Blame Canada. It's just
so catchy.
But
like you said earlier about
the
musical, it felt like a theatre production, and obviously they do the Book of Mormon now theatre.
Yeah.
So it's quite. The music's always been spot on. I remember the episode with Randy. And he's Lord.
Oh, yeah, he's Lordy.
Sia is the person who sings it, not Lord. And I remember an interview with her, and she's like, to Trey Parker, if you ever, obviously not being serious, if you ever give up your day job, you got to write music, man. And, you know, because it's so catchy, so clever.
Their music is incredibly clever in all the episodes, but in the film particularly, the songs that they've written and how they've done them have just been so, so phenomenally written.
It fits perfect for this scene.
Absolutely, and they're catchy, and the reuse of Kyle's mom's a big fat bitch. In fact, is that a reuse, or did they reuse it in an episode after?
I can't think of when it first turned up. Well, I've got a very... I could be wrong, you know... Correct me if I'm wrong. I have a big memory of, wasn't Cartman, when he used to say it, he goes, "Well," and then Cal got, "Stop, don't do it."
So he does that in the film.
Yes. Oh, okay. See, I thought it was because maybe he did it after the film. But you say, so season one was... Yeah, see, I remember watching little bits of season one and then the film. So it started in season one.
So if you heard any clicking there, you would have just heard us doing the big old thing called the internet. And it featured in Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh, which was from season one. And it featured in that, which it then featured in Bigger, Longer and Uncut, which obviously was afterwards.
So I'm guessing that's the running joke of, "Carmen, no, don't do it." And then it goes, "Wah, wah," and it goes into it. And it's so catchy.
That's it. It's you just want to sing it. Catchy. But even What Will Brian Botana Do? That song in it, just horribly catchy. I don't even know who he is. And that's such a... It's an American... He's an obviously American person, but I've got no idea who he is. But I'm still singing it along going, "Yeah, come on!" The music is second to none, really, for it. And again, it's unusual with it being a cartoon, a comedy film, being a musical as well. You don't get that very often.
No.
I mean, could you imagine someone like Family Guy trying to do this?
I mean, this is what's funny. I love Family Guy, but the singing is the worst part about it for me. I don't like it. If I have to re-watch it on DVD, I skip the singing.
Which is interesting because I said this in a video I did recently, which was the Bob's Burgers video.
Yeah.
I adore Bob's Burgers. In fact, it's probably replaced almost every cartoon except for South Park at the moment as my favourite.
I need to watch it.
But there are musical episodes, and although the songs are incredibly clever and they're very funny, I struggle with cartoons with music in. Simpsons, whenever they have a music thing, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
It's cleverly done. It's well written, but... I struggle. And South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut, I thought, oh no, it got a musical, but it's crude.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's well written. And as you say, it fits with the film just perfectly. It's like a glove. It's just beautifully formed. So I can't take it away from it.
They don't go over the top either with the music in it.
Absolutely.
It has to fit perfect, which it always does.
And also, what's... kind of going away from that for a moment, whether you count this as good or negative, again, depends if you like South Park. But I'm guessing this must have been the first time that we got uncensored swearing.
Seasons
1, 2, and 3, I know in the UK, were all definitely censored. And again, it's very hard to research some of these things because you type things and all you get is YouTube videos of scenes uncensored now. Because obviously the remastering and the DVD versions, you actually get swearing in series 1, 2, and 3 now. When I first watched South Park and when I had them on VHS and the non-remastered DVDs, the first three seasons are all bleeped still, except a couple of words I think they forget to bleep. And from what I understand, there was Trey Parker and Matt Stone intentionally did that because they thought it would be funnier with than without.
I know what you mean, because when I've seen little clips, whatever it is, and you hear the bleeping sound, sometimes it is funnier because it's a bit more...
Yes.
I don't know. I know what they are meaning by that. But I don't remember season one, so yeah, I can't remember any of it. So it was bleeped out...
They were bleeped out, but they're not now.
So was that purely on purpose? It wasn't like...
Yeah, I believe they did it, at least for season one. Thing. But I believe then they're still aired to this day, and there are some that are still there. So the ones that are on Prime at the moment, they're all in HD, but the first couple of seasons on there are bleeped.
Okay.
They're not in the later ones. But this really must have been the first time that South Park went globally uncensored.
Fair enough, yeah.
And I guess it's because the censoring's just different for films, isn't it? It got its 15...
I suppose if you get the rating...
What certificate was it?
I think it was 15.
I've got to say, it must have been a 15.
I'm sure it was 15. I think 18 is probably a little bit too much. I know most of the DVDs are 15, aren't they? But I think actually the later ones were 12.
Yeah, so it depends what season you're talking
about.
Some of the seasons went down to...
it's 15, 18.
But I guess you've got to think about it. It's the same with... anything really. We know South Park's going to be crude, it's going to be rude.
This is the point.
For example,
if you're offended, don't watch it. Even press play.
But
know you're gonna be
offended. What happens if you go to Terminator? Then we go and watch Terminator 1 and 2 and we expect them to be bloody, swearing, full of things that really shouldn't be watched by anyone. But it was a 15. Then you get a new Terminator film and it comes out as a 12 and it just feels wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I was about to say the same thing when the new RoboCop came out, the remake, and it was 12.
It should have been an 18.
Oh, God.
You can't beat that first RoboCop when he just falls out of the toxic vat and sort of thing. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But you can't put that in a 15.
No.
But anyway.
But it's weird. I think, in terms of ratings, I think swearing... It's not enough to make it an 18. I think it's what you're talking about, the swearing. But I thought it was pretty crude for what it was. But it worked.
It did. And one of the other things about this that does work, and as much as I love the additional characters that they've come up with over their time, because bear in mind, there have been a lot of characters now in South Park, and it is very, very funny. I mean, Butters is one of my favourite characters of all time. He's just so well written. So we watched the, I watched the episode earlier where they go to the old village, and it gets taken over by terrorists.
Oh, of course.
And he refuses to let Cartman's hand go. But you just see this anger building up in him.
Something buddies, and he goes, no, you can't let go of hands.
And it's
just great ones.
He's such a... But this was even before buses existed.
Yeah.
So you are really just the core people. So Stan, Cartman, Kenny and Kyle, you've got Wendy and you've got BB, who has been around since kind of the beginning.
It's weird, you don't think with her.
No.
I never thought of the very
beginning.
You don't
really get Kenny's parents in it. You get Kyle's parents and Stan's parents and Cartman's mum, obviously. A couple of the school people. But really, that is limiting who there is. And Chef with the whole... I guess really that's where we need to bring in the does it stand up today? Before we do that, any favourite parts that you can think of from there? We will get more professional at this, guys. I promise we will remember what
we'll
we're
have
doing.
We'll have a layout. I always just have that memory. The biggest memory was the chip. And so with Cartman swearing constantly, it was, I don't know. I remember going into school. a couple of weeks after it's been out, and it just took over. I mean, this is primary school. It took over. And I think the whole swearing thing, you know, you're watching this and you're getting told by the film, you know, in as a storyline, don't swear. And it was like, no, you're going to go against it. But in terms of the actual scenes, I think it all lived up. There's not something that stands out that's better than the other.
So I think, being a big geek at heart, the thing that always made me laugh from it was Bill Gates. So they're in the war room. They've got a big hologrammatic graphic computer in the middle, and then it starts glitching out. Saddam Hussein's face is flicking in and out because, as we know, they're coming up to take over the world eventually with Satan. And the general just shouts, "Get Bill Gates in here. You said it would be better with Windows 98. And then he shoots him point blank in the head. It's just like, wow. But again, if I had to say kind of favourite parts, is that all the songs. I mean, the first rendition of Uncle Fucker still has me crying with laughter. And Kenny's death as well, the baked potato in his chest.
How did he come up with it? Like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
How are they writing this?
Let's face it, we know they were on something. There's a very famous video clip where they kind of get out at an award ceremony.
Is it not the Oscars? I think it's either the Oscars or the Grammy. One of them, and they're on acid. Yeah, and they're dressed in girls' clothes.
It's very, very funny. But it kind of gives you an idea where maybe some of this comes from. But again, you're probably right. For me, it's such a short film as well.
Yeah.
It's hard to isolate just kind of one or two favourite parts to it. It is just that classic South Park thing. It feels like an episode. If you said, what was your favourite episode, I'd happily say, actually, I want to put the film in there and say that is, because it feels so much like an episode.
Of course, yeah. But like we've been talking a lot about the music. Hopefully, in terms of licensing, it'd be nice to... You know, for the outro for the episode, maybe one of the three songs, Blame Canada, Cow's Mum, just finishing out. But
we'll see what we'll have to look online and see where we stand with that one. So does it stand up today? And you hit the nail on the head there. I don't think you'd get away with putting this in the cinema anymore. No. Without heavily, heavily adjusting it. But at the same point, the show still exists. They still rip the piss out of Token.
Mm-hmm.
They're still doing exactly the same things they were doing back in 1998 now. So if the show can still exist, surely the film could.
Yeah, I agree. I think there'll be certain things cut out. It depends on the wording. But in terms of the general storyline, I don't think much would need to be changed. But... It still stands up. I mean,
well, that's it. I mean, it's an awkward thing, isn't it? Because again, if you're a South Park fan, you're a South Park fan. If you're not, this isn't going to sway you.
No.
If you enjoy animated comedies, this might sway you onto going on looking at South Park and looking at the earlier seasons. But having seen the later seasons, I don't know if you would enjoy this as much. Now,
I know.
I enjoyed it more when I was a kid because of that shock value of going in expecting to hear beep. Every few minutes, instead suddenly hearing the rendition of Uncle Fucker and all the other swearing kicking, it's like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yep.
So for me, back then, swearing to kids, it's like chocolate to kids, isn't it?
Nothing now.
It's like, wow, it's amazing, we've got to go for it. And yeah, now the shows are unfiltered, uncensored. There's nothing actually new in the film that we haven't seen in an episode.
Mm.
So maybe it doesn't stand up today. If you were fresh to it, if you said to someone that had only just watched, let's say, the past six seasons, they like South Park, go and watch the film, would they come out of it enjoying it as much as we did after only seeing the first couple of seasons back in 1999?
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's so full of the early season.
It is. But for me, that's a good thing for a modern day fan who likes only the newer stuff and has avoided the older stuff.
But saying that, does it stand up today? I mean, I'm talking like it's us watching it, but I've got to try and think of showing. Okay, say if I show my sister who's 18. So she's old enough to watch the film. Would she like? I see what you mean. It's a tough one now.
If they're a South Park fan, they are going to like
They'll love it.
Whether or not they're going to like it as much as we did is a very different thing, because that doesn't mean it doesn't stand up today. It just means that actually the things that were done that made South Park Big, Longer, and Uncut different to the series is now being done in everyday episodes. So actually, it probably won't stand up as well because they're used to it already. While for
very
us,
true, yeah.
it moved South Park shock value forward.
Mm.
It added so much to the TV series by being expletive, by being completely open and being incredibly, we are just going for this, whether it offends you or not. And of course they got that, they got lampooned for that. You're not going to get away with that. There's always going to be some party out there that's going to moan about this.
Yeah.
But if you released it today, I don't think it would do as well as it did back then.
No, because looking at the box office as well, the budget was $21 million and it made $83 million. So it did well enough back then. Enough people saw it, and I think it would probably get a bigger box office now, I reckon, because, like, again, it's a bit more acceptable, the jokes they're saying, in the term of, if you took out the bad stuff, like PC-wise, I think, yeah, like you're saying, people are desensitized now. But you can't say certain. It's like they're talking about, for instance, Little Britain coming back.
But yes,
they're having to cut back half of the jokes, and it's.
So that was in the papers the other day. So the BBC have now come forward and said it will absolutely not make a comeback because it will upset too many people.
People are just too offended these days.
People are too offended. And the worst thing is about that, and again, there's been South Park episodes all about this, people are too offended for other people. It's not even something that's going to affect them, but they feel like they need to be offended for someone else.
Yep.
And that's kind of what's destroying this, I guess, more than anything. But ultimately, personally, between us, yes, it stands up. And yeah, I could rewatch this every couple of months and I would still laugh at exactly the same points, mm-hmm. and I would still enjoy it as much. But I've got to say, if we were to release it today, I don't think it would be a success. I think people would say, what's so different about this to the episodes? There's nothing special compared to the episodes in this, except for the songs, which again are phenomenal. But even then, we've got films like The Greatest Showman. There's absolutely no way they'd get an Oscar nomination now for the music.
No.
So
especially one called Blame Canada.
So yeah, it's just one of those things, isn't it? It doesn't stand up today if it was in the cinema, but for fans, it will do. It will always stand up if you're a South Park fan. And if you haven't watched it, I'd obviously like to know why you haven't watched it, because it's, what, $2.99 to buy it on DVD?
Yeah. Or it was on Prime, I think.
Is it? No, it's Netflix. It's on Netflix at the moment. So obviously, if you don't want to dust off the DVD shelf, then go and stream, which defeats the point of the podcast, but hey. And I think the only thing left to say, really, about the DVD, there are very, very few special features on it. But the one thing that makes it different to most is it's got a commentary. And it's a commentary that spans the entire film.
All right.
So the majority of commentaries you find, commentary across the entire film, which is so unusual, because majority of them, it's a couple of scenes here. Oh, we're going to discuss this scene now. This scene was very good. I very much enjoyed it. And it's like, fine, but I want to hear what you were doing about the whole film. And that's what they did, which is really, really cool.
Oh, nice.
And it's really worth watching with the commentary on, because you learn a load about kind of their thought process and what they were doing. Yet they've kept it as funny. I don't know if you remember. So when I first got South Park, we got it on VHS, and they used to come three videos in a sleeve, and it was half a season with three videos. But at the beginning of each episode, there were little skits that Matt and Trey would do. So there's, I don't know if it's season one or season two, they're chefs and they're making bacon with Macon, and they've got a pet pig and they're feeding him bacon while they're introducing the episode and giving a really, really very quick basic commentary about each episode. And it's just very funny. Yet this one is the entire film. And again, it'll make you laugh almost as much as the film does.
I'll try out the commentary track as well.
Yeah, the commentary is absolutely worth it. So that, guys, is our thoughts on South Park, Bigger, Longer and Uncut, from the DVD cupboard. Go and watch it. Let us know your thoughts. So remember that it's hashtag The Land Before Prime. You can find us on Twitter and you can find us over on Facebook. It's just type in our names, Retro Throwback or Weekend Lollygagger, and no doubt you'll find us. But that brings us to the quiz. So I'm going to hand over to Rob, who's going to question me with 10 questions. We'll see how we do. So insert drone sound any second.
All right, give me a second, right.
So you've led me to understand that this is a generic South Park quiz.
Yes, it's generic. It's not
necessarily...
It relates to both in some ways, you'll see. Some are easy, some, you know, I've tried to keep it average. But, you know, so there's no timer. There's no countdown, nothing like that.
Okie dokie, so I've just got 10 questions. I've got to see what I score.
Oh, but then I don't think I've done it tough enough. I mean, after hearing... up to this point, I mean, South Parked.
You'll be surprised. I'm pretty sure there's going to be questions you're going to ask that people will be screaming at me as they drive or get the train or wherever they're going to be listening to us. That they'll get, and they'll be screaming that the answer is incredibly easy. So let's just wait and see.
I've saved them online, so as long as it's fine. Day is fine. Right, here we go.
Good, good.
So, what is Randy Marsh's primary job?
Geologist.
Right, and before... Yeah, you're right.
But
I was just about to say, I have set... So there's four answers, but I think I should just ask you...
Yeah, just go for the asking. Let's go for the asking. So geologist, that's one new me.
Yeah, it's right. This is a stupid one now. Who voiced Chef in the show?
Isaac Hayes.
Yep.
See, bear in mind, you're saying these are easy, but I'm useless with names.
Okay. Right, let's see. According to one of the show's most popular recurring characters, which of the following should you never forget to bring? Do you want the answers?
Towel. Yeah. Oh, you can hear the disappointment in Rob's voice there.
Another bit of an easy one. According to Cartman, what is the most intriguing aspect of Ginger Kids?
Oh, I've only just watched this episode as well.
Ooh, okay.
See,
I get it a lot because I do have red hair. But as a joke.
Oh, it's not the fact they can't go in the sun, is it?
They're
daywalkers.
That's...
No, go on.
They have no souls.
Oh, damn it! I knew that one! Okay, 2-1 to you.
I like this question, but I think you know it. In the episode, Scott Tenenbaum must die. Cartman destroys Scott's life by murdering his parents. However, which band then arrives to make fun of Scott?
Primus?
No. Do you want the answers? No, because you'll get it.
Don't give me the answers. Okay. I think we should make it slightly harder. Oh, God, hang on.
Can you see him in the episode?
I can. It's a punk band, isn't it? It's a punk band, isn't it?
I wouldn't say
go on
punk.
There. I think you're going to have to make it two all then.
It's Radiohead.
Oh, they're definitely not punk. What are you on?
No, they're not punk.
Oh, Creep, such a good song.
What did the Loch Ness Monster want?
Oh, about 350?
Who handed Paris Hilton a crushing in defeat in South Park's whore-off competition?
I don't even remember the episode. Jessica Simpson?
Do you want the... One of them's actually not far off.
No, go on.
Right, we've got Mr. Garrison, Lindsay Lohan,
Mr.
Slave, or Barbra Streisand?
Lindsay Lohan.
Mr. Slave.
Oh, of course it was. 3-3.
Another one. Quite. What was the very first episode of South Park about?
Cartman's anal probe.
Yeah.
So I had sudden dawn of realisation. Oh my God.
Kind of answered this. George Clooney lent his voice to the programme as
Sparky the dog.
Yeah. Gay dog.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I should just discuss it. Yeah, Sparky the gay dog. Or the doctor in the film.
Final question. I'll try and get you to say the exact answer. Let's see how this works. What is the name of the sword the boys use to defeat the guy? Make love, not Warcraft.
Such a good episode.
Probably one of my favourites, yeah.
I couldn't even tell you.
I'll tell you, it's a sword of...
Damocles?
No.
Go on then, what
do you want the
it?
Answers?
No, just go on.
It's a sword of 1,000 truths.
Oh, damn it. Oh, dear. Right, so what was that? We must have got a fair...
I do have a bonus one.
That must have been about 5-all then.
I think so, yeah. I mean, we'll listen sure, back. We'll keep it on a tiebreaker, but this one you've got to say the exact. I'm not. There's no full
right,
answers.
Okay,
right,
okay, okay.
What in South Park, what is the name of the film that is described as the single most vile, twisted, dark piece of porn ever produced? Which... I'm not going to finish the question because that gives it away too much. Okay. Which Butters refers to as his precious. If you're close, I'll give it to you. The single most vile, twisted, dark piece of porn ever produced, which Butters calls his precious.
Oh my God, my brain's absolutely gone clear.
Is it ringing a bell at all?
The episode does. But all I can think of is like the Passion of Christ, which they rip the mick out of all the time. They rip the mick out of like never getting their money back for basketball.
It's not that episode.
No, it's just film-wise, that's what's sticking in my head. Oh, you're going to have to win this quiz round. All right, go for it. Go on.
It is from the episode with the Lord of the Rings, the blockbuster one, when they're taken, and it's called Backdoor Sluts 9.
Oh, I would never
not Backdoor Sluts 9. They go, how do you know?
I would never have got that, but damn it, dude. They were good questions, but I'm gonna let you keep the award for this season. So you have won that 1-0 to you. Now, I get to write the questions for the next film, but first of all, I need to actually know what that film is and what I'm going to be watching. So take it away.
Right, so let me just... I've got to double check the year. I'm pretty 99% to know the year. And I'm kind of hoping at the same time you haven't watched it, but we did agree... It's not the end of the world.
Yeah,
so we called the feature Hidden Gems. Now, it was not necessarily... We weren't going to pick films that were Hollywood blockbusters. It was more of maybe a cult following, maybe a beef, maybe something that I think you won't know.
Yeah, basically, we're looking at films that we really enjoy. And that could well be a Hollywood blockbuster in the end. But at the same time, we've got very large DVD collections, so it could well be a completely random film that I've never heard of. So go on.
It is from 2006.
Right, okay, so it's a more recent film.
I can't...
14 years old.
God, showing age now. I can't pronounce his first name. I always get it wrong. But the director is Guillermo del Toro.
Okay, it's a del Toro film. Yeah. Let's stick with the surname.
And it is called Pan's Labyrinth.
I have never seen Pan's Labyrinth. Good. I have been told by many, many people it's a real genre-winning film for what it was. I've only ever heard rave reviews around it. I've never got around to watching it myself. Okay, no, that's awesome. I'll look forward to that then. Because, again, I believe it's a horror.
I tried to describe it to a friend at work the other day. It's one of my favourite films. It is basically what I would call an adult fairy tale. It's from what I remember, it's a 15.
Yeah.
It's quite, no spoilers, quite graphic in some parts, but it's based around an 11-year-old girl. And it's in the Spanish War, Civil War, from what I remember. Adult fairy tale set in Spain. It's during the war, and also her stepdad is one of the generals, but he's not a nice man.
Gotcha. Right.
So think of fairy tale. So she's using imagination to kind of get away. You know, her mum's all nice and friendly. He treats her. We'll leave it at that. But
so we're going for the Never Ending Story X-rated version.
Without the book.
Excellent.
Yes. But when I saw that in the cinema, one of my best friends from years ago, we went to the cinema and we didn't know what we were going to pick. And we went to the board and he goes, oh my God, it's out today. And I've never heard of it. So he takes me in to watch it and I've come out going, that's the best.
So I can picture the DVD cover, funnily enough, for it. It was a mask sort of thing on the front cover, if I remember,
You're
wasn't
it? Not far off. It's actually a fawn.
Ah, okay.
Imagine the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe on.
Yep, yep.
Drugs.
That's it. Okay.
But
okay,
it's incredible. So, incredible.
So, guys, in 3 weeks' time, then, we will be discussing Pan's Labyrinth. So what I'd highly suggest, again, DVDs at the moment are incredibly cheap. HMV has just fallen through the arsehole and disappeared into the neverness. So there's going to be a lot of things on sale about now. So get yourselves on Amazon, get yourself over to HMV before it's gone forever, and pick up some DVDs, and in particular, go and pick up South Park. I think we generally accept that.
Definitely.
Although releasing it today would be a bit of a bad thing to do, it's still a good film, especially if you're a fan of the whole South Park thing. And then pick yourself up Pan's Labyrinth and join us next week for in 3 weeks' time for when we dissect that and we take a closer look at that DVD.
Definitely.
Well, I guess that just leaves me to say, remember, you can follow me on Twitter with @WELollygagger.
And me @retro_throwback.
You'll find us both on Facebook using similar bits to that, but we'll leave that on a bit of a challenge for you. We're both on YouTube as well. And if you want to talk to us, please just find us, subscribe, follow us. But also, if you want to discuss the episode and let the wider world see what we've done, include the #TheLandBeforePrime. That, guys, is that. We are at nearly 45 minutes, so we're going to try and keep episodes about that sort of length.
Yeah.
Maybe a little longer, maybe a little less, but ideally that's going to be our sort of runtime. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in 3 weeks. Take it easy. Bye bye. Bye.